seriously popular.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, mall parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Sidebar. Borderline National Treasure, Richard Arnold here, bringing you the best from the guilty pleasure celebs can't get enough of, the showbiz badge of honour they secretly adore. My Sidebar sidekicks today are Resi Gadjar.
Woohoo!
And the one and only Bobby Norris.
Hello, straight out.
In this episode, it's all about the Spice Girls back together again. Telly to talk about. Baby Reindeer is the TV show on everybody's lips. Taylor Swift drops a dynamic double album of disses. And joining us in the studio today, our very special guest, drag race legend, Bag of Chips.
Hello!
Let's do it, dance. Right, gang, lovely to see you. Resi, I've got to start with you, despite the fact we're in the presence of greatness here today with Bagger. And thank you, Bagger, for joining us after a busy weekend gigging. Bobby, you'll have the floor in a minute, as always. Resi, talk me through the bandage on your finger.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a boo-boo, guys. What happened was I got out of a taxi and closed the taxi door, but forgot my finger was still in the door.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a little bit painful today. We've got a bit of an acrylic nail situation going on underneath there.
Oh, no.
Think I'm going to have to get them redone. So we've bandaged it up for now, just so you can't see the crack down the acrylic nail. That's
and
all it is.
That is dedication.
That is dedication.
I'm accessorizing this well, I think.
You're doing very well, yes.
It's all right.
Are you going to hold it up in the air throughout the entire episode?
I mean, I meant to, apparently, but no, I'm going to hide it down here just so we can't see it. I don't think I can accessorize this well, so this will be staying down here.
Yeah, well, if we get a cold blue in the colour, it drains from your face, my friend. Don't worry about it. You're in the best of hands. I'm sure that all three of us gents know our way around a bit of mouth-to-mouth and CPR.
Well, talk for yourself, darling.
Talk for yourself. Bobby, how was your weekend, my friend?
Amazing, thank you, Dickie. It was a weekend of light and shade. My 2024 was made, and I know we're going to be talking about it shortly, with a video Mr. David Beckham posted.
Indeed.
Absolutely my favourite thing this year, the reunion of the Spice Girls, all looking absolutely incredible. Nostalgia at its best, and I am here for it, praying for a reunion. I think it's unlikely, so I will take the 20-second clip that Mr. David posted. So that was an amazing part of my weekend. And then I fell down the rabbit hole of Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
And I've drunk the Kool-Aid, and I'm literally minutes from the end of the finale. And wow, what a show.
All of which we'll be talking about in just a few moments. Bagger, my friend, the last time I saw you, you were coming down my side return. Ladies and gentlemen, dear listener, it was the full thrust of the pandemic and we were marking Pride in my garden because of footfall. I wasn't allowed into the studio, but we were determined to crack on with a Pride celebration, albeit a limited version thereof, in my garden with the camera crew, and Bagger, God bless her, at the crack of a sparrow's fart, came down my side return, pressing on her nails, and we had to sit underneath a gazebo outside because you know when you had to bubble up and you were allowed a bit of al fresco dining in your garden, we had to knock up a cheeky Argos gazebo. So Bagger's under there with my cockapoo at her knees, pressing on her nails before we went live to the nation to celebrate every colour under the rainbow. And Bagger, I mean, I know you're not one for early mornings, but you brought it. We had to stay 2 metres apart, obviously. The cameraman had brought this pole to make sure that we did indeed stay 2 metres apart, which was very difficult because, Bagger, you and I are both very handsy, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm not good at mornings. So it was like,
I think it was like 8:30 in the morning. I'm in your back passage singing and dancing and talking absolute rubbish. I think I did a boo-boo as well, didn't I? I swear I said bloody hell or bugger off or something. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I sound like Deirdre Barlow today. Too many ciggies and drinks last night.
But we'll let you off. It's all right.
Yeah. No, you've got a lovely home as well and a lovely garden. And I was just on the table sticking me fake nails on Primark. Yeah.
But prime time on national television on Good Morning Britain. We waved that flag with pride. You were absolutely spectacular.
Well, I can't believe we're almost in May already. So before we know it, baby, it's going to be Pride.
Ding
What's
dong.
Your plans for Pride? I guess busy.
Oh, well, I've got so many prides I'm doing. I'm doing Manchester Pride. I'm doing London Pride. I'm doing a bit of radio work for Virgin Pride. Yeah, I do all the prides. I do from Brighton Pride to Skipton Pride. I like the little ones as well.
Sometimes some of the best, without a doubt.
I do at least 20 prides.
So I guess that's like your busy time of year, Pride. Yeah, it's like a Father Christmas
gay
doing
Christmas.
The grottos in December. That's your time to get the coins.
Well, I remember when Pride was like, you'd just have a few prides within a couple of weeks. Now it's like a 2-month thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually going for the first time this year. I've never been to Pride before.
Shut up. Never been.
I know. Oh, so I'm going to go to the London one this year. So have you got any advice for me attending my first Pride?
Sensible shoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
so
my.
So none of my 6-inch killer heels.
Well, if you're doing the parade, it's quite a trek, isn't it?
Oh,
you
God,
go around.
Yeah.
I think you go around the East End and stuff.
It feels like it by the time you get to the end of the parade. Because it's not just performing as well. It's a full-time job when you go to those events. For someone like you, chatting to Rylan the other day, and we were chatting about the countdown to Eurovision in a couple of weeks and stuff, and it got to the point where he couldn't move from one side of the arena to another without being mobbed. So what he had to do was buy a Island mask from the merch stand, pop that on, and then he could actually move around and no one bothered him because so many people were wearing Ryland masks, which to me is a stroke of genius.
Yeah.
But it must be for you. You're talking about 2 months at least of the summer, bagger, where you're pressing the flesh.
I'm saying famous, I'm gamous. So if I'm gamous, like if I could be at a big award show, I don't know, like Pride of Britain or something, and they're like, you're right. But if I'm at a Pride, that people are crying and stuff. I'm like, what the hell? They're like, bag of chips, can I get a photo? And it is true. Just from the top to the bottom of Old Compton Street, it would take me at least 2 hours. And
wow.
It's a 2-minute walk.
Yeah.
Because people just want photos.
Yeah.
And I do love it. But when it's 2 hours, you're like, I'm not getting paid for this.
Yeah. I'm just girl wants coins.
Yeah.
But yeah, flat shoes all the way because you're going to want a night out as well, aren't you? And if you're in heels all day. And a bottle of water and...
Well, she'll be throwing the Jaeger down her neck by lunchtime.
Tequila Rose. Tequila Rose, get off to me, Fiona.
The bottom line is you've got to commit... Bobby and Rezzy, welcome, Bandage and all. So you mentioned it, Robert. I'm actually not a Robert.
Everyone thinks I am. Teachers used to literally go, if I was a bit too chatty, which I know don't sound like me,
go on.
They'd be like, Robert. And I was like, it's actually Bobby. And I was like, I bet it ain't on your passport. I was like, I bet it is, sweetheart.
Robert does actually suit you, though, especially with the glasses as well. I feel like that could be like your alter ego.
I'm a legit Bobby, one of the OG Bobbies.
I love a Bobby. I feel like Cilla Black. Oh, Bobby.
She had a Bobby, didn't she?
I want to be Bobby's girl.
We're never short of a Bobby on this show. And yet you flagged it up, my friend. We were all a little bit giddy as we were trawling through the Insta weekend while I was doing a cheeky little bit of DIY, polish the silver, actually. That's not a euphemism, bagger. Anyway, David Beckham posted the reunion footage that we all wanted to see, Spice Girls one and all. And that was of all of them together at Vicky B's Mayfair bash, her star-studded 50th birthday bash, and the lasses were singing, and it's the first time we've seen them in years all together stepping up to the mic, which of course prompted, amongst Scary, obviously, mostly Scary, she's always the one stoking the coals, isn't she?
Mel B,
when it comes to stoking the coals about a possible Spice Girls reunion, she even posted, didn't she, tour dates coming soon after this footage went viral.
She sticks the tip in, doesn't she?
Yeah, she knows how to work it.
Begging and screaming for more.
She knows is what we want. And as you rightfully pointed out, Bobby, it's the nostalgia. I just watched it. I thought, not only did I get FOMO, because frankly, who wouldn't want to be at that bash?
Yeah. We weren't invited.
But nevertheless, they look like we're on a right old hoolie. And let's face it, you're starting the week winning. I suppose if you're married to David Beckham.
Yeah.
And you're being piggybacked out by David, who obviously is your husband, from your birthday bash. We've all been there, slingbacks off, and pour me into Joe Baxi.
Do you know what I really liked about that video is how proud David Beckham looked as he's like filming the girls in the background. But if you look closely, I'm not quite sure who it is in the background. I think it might be like a DJ or something. Like everyone else is like watching. It's iconic. It's the Spice Girls getting together and performing. And there's the DJ or whoever in the background just not paying any attention to it whatsoever. I'm like, who do you think you are? Come on, it's the Spice Girls.
It's like money can't buy that. And no. I love that David, he should be like an agent, like content creator. Like he got that iPhone out. I don't know he's got an iPhone. I'm just guessing. Got that out and he filmed it and he gave the people what they wanted.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of gay men follow David. I don't know why, but
I can't imagine. To be fair, I feel like
Victoria always returns a favour with David though, because she's always posting pictures of him working out and being like, you're welcome. Yeah. And I'm just like, keep that
fair
content
play
coming.
She knows that the girls and gays love him.
Or that one where he's prone with his white shorts on. Oh, I'm assuming it was David and he was fixing the television. I'm like, well, where's my HDMI socket? You know what I mean?
Times have changed. Times
she always writes in the caption, you're welcome.
It's like, thank you very much.
Well, I think we're all here clearly for the reunion. For those of us who weren't invited to this particular Mayfair watering hole this weekend, this is how it played out on Saturday night.
Right now, thank you very much. Need somebody with a human touch. Thank you, always on the run.
Let's play it again.
I wasn't singing live to that.
We're throwing shapes here in the sidebar studio and we're lip syncing as well. Baggy, you've got to be here for the Spice Girls reunion, right?
Oh, I've loved the Spice Girls since I was a nipper. I'd always be in the playground at school. Me and my friends would be like, let's play the Spice Girls. And I'd always be scary because I got a big gob, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, it's just, I feel really old now because she's 50, isn't she?
Yeah.
And she was in her early 20s in the Spice Girls. And we're all getting older, but oh, it's just iconic. The music, the Brit Awards, the Union Jack dress, Spice World, the movie.
Yeah.
They were just everywhere. Crisps, lollipops.
All the merch.
Yeah.
They sold platform shoes.
I was obsessed with those platform shoes that they all used to wear.
Yeah, Impulse. Other brands are available with that. Body spray.
That is a throwback.
And I remember collecting. I don't think you really get them anymore. And I don't know anyone else apart from the Spice Girls that did it. But you know, like, boys would collect football stickers and you get a shiny and swap it. They did almost like photographs of them.
Yeah.
And like everything that you could get. I had a big poster of them on my bedroom door at the time. I was always a fan of my number one Spice Girl was Victoria.
Oh, really?
Mine was Sporty.
I always wanted to be sporty. Yeah. Oh. I remember one year for Christmas, I got given a Spice Girls pencil case and it was the best moment of my life. And going back to school after Christmas, having my Spice Girls pencil case and displaying it nicely on my desk, I was so proud. I was like, guys, look what I have.
Love that.
I used to go to school and I remember dyeing my fringe blonde because of Ginger Spice.
Oh, yeah.
So I looked ridiculous because I had short hair. I was like just a little gay boy at school. But I just had little blondes.
Amazing.
And I was so bad. When I was 50, I got my tongue pierced because of Mel B. And I had to take it out. The teacher was like, take that out your mouth. So I'm in class like...
That was my first heartbreak. You know when you kind of think, oh, who broke your heart first? Because it's always one of the worst things in life, having your heart broken at the best of time. But your first always cuts deep. It's a kicking of an ears. And when I look back, mine was when Jerry left the band.
Really? Yeah.
My first heartbreak.
It was
devastating.
A massive moment.
I think I went into a borderline depression.
Yeah.
Like,
they were
I locked
such a
myself
big girl
in
band,
my
though.
I was heartbroken. Mm. Like, to me, that was absolutely terrible, and I'm still not fully over it.
I remember when ABBA split up, I got one of those crimping scissors. I mean, dates me back. You talk about it. Right? And you remember those scissors? I remember all these posters from all the teen magazines at the time and stuff like that, and I cut up as the couples broke up and then eventually the band broke up. There is a picture of me somewhere out there with my dear friend Vicky holding up a picture of Robbie Williams on the front page of The Sun when he left Take That. So we were mourning that loss.
Then
not long after, clearly, Spice Girls, they too were cast asunder by Jerry leaving the full lineup. Have you ever met any of them, Bagger? I seem to remember you have, didn't you?
So on my first season of Drag Race, I was so starstruck. This was like my idol as a kid. It was Jerry. Jerry was a judge on season one.
Yeah.
And when someone's giving you compliments, and I was just like thinking in my head, I was like, I literally used to cry over you. You know what I mean? In the 90s, if you saw a Spice Girl, it was like seeing...
a unicorn.
Yeah, like, oh, like they were the... I'd say they were the most famous people in Britain, probably the world. And she was just so lovely. She's a bit posh now. I was like, I loved Jerry when she was that kind of Vivian Westwood-y character in your face. And she would literally just go up to someone and put her boobs in your face. She pinched Prince Charles's bum and all that.
Yeah.
And now she was like, oh, yeah, you're very marvellous. And I was like, what's happened? So, but Mel C, oh my God, she's one of those people, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Like, they say you should never meet your idols, but Mel C is very like, you're right, bugger, much better. You know, that was a terrible accent. When she did Much Better, like, me catch, I was like, oh my, how do these people even know who I am? It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And on other seasons of Drag Race, they had Mel B and they had Emma, but they've never had Victoria.
I've met Emma Bunton. We worked together. So she is so lovely. But I was so nervous when I met her. And obviously, I played it totally cool. She came out of a studio one day and I was sat with the producer. And she came over and he was asking her about a trip she had to New York. And I just looked at her and just went, all right. I just didn't really know what to say. Inside, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Baby Spice. Yeah, like 11-year-old me has actually stood right next to her. We worked together. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I don't think that ever loses.
No.
You never lose that, I think. I mean, I've been lucky enough to interview all of them over the years, and I remember when they did their first performance, which was down on the South Bank outside GMTV of old. Right. I mean, we're talking obviously clearly a very long time ago. We're 2 years or so away from the 30th anniversary, and I remember them performing. But that was an iconic performance for them because that sort of launched them to a degree, and then of course it all took off. And then as you come across them over the years and stuff, and as you say, they change a little bit and stuff like that, get a little bit more glamorous and mature and float to the top with the rest of us.
Society.
Yeah, for the rest of society. And it's just like, funny you should say about Emma though, Resi. I remember I was out with Keith Lemon. They were all in the same sort of club, and I was sat with Emma and chatting to her. So, because on that rare occasion where you're not just interviewing them, it's not a professional capacity, but you're actually sat there having just a little bit of banter, and you do get a little bit of a frisson,
That's
French,
it.
Bobby.
Banjo!
Yeah. you still get a little bit giddy, and I don't think we should ever lose that, which is why I think there's this massive anticipation, as I say, a couple of years from now, for this 30th anniversary, which Vicky B says will probably just be a light lunch, tossing with a lettuce. Like that, not promising any kind of tour, unlike Mel, obviously, who's clearly wanting this.
Yeah, tour dates.
I don't know whose card will be behind the bar, because obviously if it costs them 250 grand for a birthday party, then someone will have to fork out for that lunch.
Pennies to them.
I used to be so obsessed with their music, though. I feel like we don't have this anymore. Like, I used to send my mum, on the day where their songs would come out, I'd send my mum down to HMV to buy me a cassette of their song. So when Say You'll Be There came out, I couldn't wait to get home from school, because I knew that mum had gone to get it for me. Yeah, and literally, I remember that moment where you get home and you take it upstairs to your bedroom and you put it into the cassette player, and then you just get to play it on repeat over and over again. Yeah. It was just so good.
And that moment in time, like, because I think really when they was a group before Jerry left, RIP, I think it was only about 3 years. But that moment in time, what they've achieved, I think they've gone down in history. No shade to any other girl group, love you. But I think they are the most iconic and the biggest and the best girl band that's ever, ever been. And for someone to create what they created globally with Girl Power, I mean, the world in his chihuahua knew the Spice Girls, and they've absolutely smashed it. Talking of Vicky's birthday, did you see it's rumoured she gave everyone £500 goodie bags, like birthday bags at the end?
Did she?
I used to love a party bag. It was never £500.
No, I was going to say.
A little bit of a yo-yo in there, sliver of cake, a balloon, bubbles.
Bubbles. Oh, the bubbles.
Oh, I loved a bubble.
I loved a bubble too. I loved a bubble too. Well, this is gripping. But yeah, we do remember fondly those goodie bags of old. 500 quid, that's not bad. I wonder if we could get the cash equivalent. I'd do a minesweep of all those goodie bags leaving that club.
I want to know what was in it.
I'd love to know what was in it. It's been reported, of course, that Tom Cruise, all of 61 years of age, actually did the splits at the party, not to pull focus from the reunion for the first time since 2012 of the greatest girl band of all time. Tom's there doing the splits, which at 61, if you can leap across buildings in London town, then I'm sure you can spread them with the best of them.
Do you think he got a little bit jealous when the girls stood up and they did their little sings? Who do you think? Oh, show
I want
you.
My moment. Yeah, this is it. It's all about me now.
And splits.
Absolutely. Girl band at reunion.
I heard that Tom Cruise is very short, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I always hear that for some reason, but I'm like, can't be that short because it's in the films.
Yeah, like. I know. And to be quite honest, again, we don't move within the same circle, clearly, but whenever I've interviewed him, he always seems just about my height. So I don't understand
and how tall were you?
The Cuban lifts come from. Oh, well, muscle. wastage at my age as well. I think it's all caving in, Bobby. I'm a loose 182, 183. Would that be about right?
Just shy of 6 foot.
I think it's just shy of 6 foot.
He's got to be a lot shorter, though.
So why does it? Because that's kind of like the running joke about him. I mean, I've never met the geezer.
Well, if you've ever seen him do the splits, I can assure you he's a lot shorter than. Let's bring the girls back. Just a couple of years together, we'll have a whip round at the sidebar to get that 30th anniversary show on the road. And we're definitely here for Tom Cruise doing the splits. I think we'll take a little ad break.
Shall we?
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, mall parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
So from the union we've all been champing at the bit to see to television we can't do without, and it really is telly to talk about. So much out there at the moment for you to binge watch, but the one that everyone's talking about that's number one here in the UK is Baby Reindeer, a dark drama about a struggling stand-up comedian who ends up with an obsessive stalker. So for the uninitiated, the show sees comedian Richard Gadd turn his real-life experiences with a female stalker into a fictionalised account of the stalking and harassment he endured at the hands of a deeply troubled woman whom he met whilst working in a pub. If you haven't caught it yet, and the comedian stars as himself in this fictionalisation of what actually happened to him, let's have a little bit of sizzle to wet our whistle.
You say this woman's stalking you?
Yeah, like 6 months maybe.
Why'd it take you so long to report it?
I think she needs help. She comes to my work, my house. She sends me emails, like, all the time.
Are any threatening towards you?
Yeah.
Now, we were all at different levels of this series. Obviously, no spoiler alerts on the sidebar today because we're all binging at different times. I've only seen the first episode ends on quite the cliffhanger. Bobby, you're how many minutes from the end?
I'm about five or 6 minutes from the very end of episode 7, which I don't kind of know how that's happened.
Yeah, how did you not finish the whole thing?
I don't know how I'm 6 or 7 minutes from the end. But
I'm just going to leave that last five minutes.
Is that because you were carpooling in here with Resi today and shared
Her finger was hanging off.
Yeah.
I'm legit obsessed, and it's very rare for me that I jump on something straight away. So it's obviously number one on the UK Netflix, and everyone is watching it. I'm sometimes like weeks or months later. Like I think I didn't get into Tiger King till about 6 months into lockdown, which everyone was already over it by then. But Scoop I had to watch on a day, and this I thought, oh, I'll give it a go. And you know what I'm saying? As a hook, line and sinker, it kind of gives me Misery vibes. You know, when is it? Yeah. Who is it?
Stephen King.
Yeah, Kathy, not Kathy Burke.
Kathy Bates.
Ties him to the bed and does his knees. It's kind of that vibe. And it's very interesting to see, especially because it's based on a real life story. I think it's interesting to see a woman stalking a man. Because 9 times out of 10 on TV and in dramas, it's a man stalking a woman. So I think it's kind of nice to show the other side of that.
Also, I think it's really interesting to see him acting as himself.
Yeah.
Because he is amazing as an actor. Incredible. So good.
He's had to go to some really dark places, apparently. It does get very, very dark. Again, no spoiler. But it does get very, very dark, you know, as the series progresses.
Something creepy about Eva, which like, this is like the least creepiest part, really, when you watch the whole thing. And I highly recommend it because it goes down a rabbit hole. And it's quite a dark, twisted thing. That's the nature of stalking, unfortunately. But the whole baby reindeer. So no spoilers, but that is kind of her nickname for him, which I kind of think's eerie in itself.
Yeah.
I've never called anyone baby reindeer. I'm a babe or a hun kind of guy.
Yeah.
But maybe that's because
you're thinking about baby reindeer in regards to the situation of the series. That's probably why you find it creepy.
Yeah, I just don't think I ever went to school with anyone that's nickname was Baby Reindeer. It's just an unusual thing, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's just something you hear every day, but I think you're right. It gets played out against what is essentially a very, very dark scenario.
Oh,
you
have
this
dark.
Sort of rather cartoon-like sort of cutesy name, don't you, Monica, for the man in question. You've got two very vulnerable people here. That's what I took from it from the very beginning. Mm. You know, two very vulnerable people. Otherwise, he wouldn't sort of want to connect to her because in some way she's sort of feeding the oxygen because he's a bit of a lackluster comedian and suddenly he's got a number one fan, back to your Stephen King point, right?
Yeah.
And so it sort of becomes this horrifically, even more so when you realise it's real life, self-fulfilling. Bagger, I know you're up for this one. You've trawled through it, haven't you?
Yeah. By the way, the actress who plays her is just unreal. I'm just like, what a brilliant actress.
She's so good.
I saw her on Lorraine and she's just so glamorous and she's got like a nice, just like a little English voice. And then on Baby Reindeer, she's like, I'm going to kick you in the week. I can't say that word, but you know.
No, I mean, Jessica Gunning, I mean, she is absolutely phenomenal. You know, to play that part where you're kind of all cheeky and a wee bit funny and all that kind of thing. And then suddenly it just flips.
Gets a bit dark.
Even the suggestion of going for a cheeky cappuccino.
And then it's rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, and then she just goes off, doesn't she? You know, I mean, you wouldn't want to come between her and a flapjack in that scene in the canteen, would you?
Yeah.
Or the calf. So stalking, broadly speaking, is it something that... stalking, I mean... Have we ever had experiences like that? I suppose all of us over the years have had unsolicited sort of texts, possibly emails and stuff. And obviously it's deeply unsettling when it happens, right? I mean, it happened to me a long time ago now, about 20 years. And just to cut a long story short, I remember I was dozing on the bed in the afternoon after the old morning shift. And my phone pinged. And it wasn't a number that was in there. And as I say, this was a long time ago. That it was a message as if someone knew me. So I didn't want to seem rude. So rather like, you know, Richard as Donnie in the show, you fall down a trap, don't you? It's very easy to do that, where you enter into a dialogue back and forth. And then it became clear I didn't really know the person. And I was like, oh, okay. But I sort of parked it and didn't think anything of it. And then gradually over a period of time, an arc of maybe 3 months, more and more messages, unsolicited photographs. And I remember having a moment on a London street with my other half and getting so angry. I called the number, you know, it's, you've got to stop this because it is so invasive, which goes without saying.
Yeah.
But these were relatively innocent
text
messages.
Did they answer when you called them?
Yes, they did. No, I beg your pardon. No, Rezzy, yes, you're right. No, they didn't. Now, ultimately, I found out that they'd got my number from the running order that was left lying around on a TV show that I was doing, and that's how they managed to get it. So I didn't have to escalate it any further. I managed to nip it in the bud. But even from that tiny kernel of that text message, the seed was planted, and it got to the point whenever my phone did ping, rather like the chime you heard in that trailer there, you feel a bit chilled, a bit cold. And you become a hostage to it already. And that's just on the very most basic level of that sort of intrusion. And, I know we've all become sort of... hopefully a bit more adept now at dealing with these things, particularly if you're in the public eye and obviously your world is more or less there for the world to see on social media and stuff to, you know, a fair degree, is you can sort of filter through that. But that experience for me personally was incredibly unsettling. Bobby, have you ever had a similar experience?
Yeah, see, I wouldn't like to go as far to call it stalking because I'm very aware that there's situations out there people are going through
absolutely.
This story, for instance, so I wouldn't absolutely like to go as far as that and look like I'm making light of what a lot of people sadly are going through.
Yep.
But I think with the rise of social media, we're no longer in the world of needing someone's number because you can contact anyone in the world just through social.
Yeah.
So back in the day where you needed a running order or you could get someone's number on the DL somehow, you don't need that. You can get into their DMs within seconds of Googling them. So our lives and our privacy have become so small and open, especially for us that work in the public eye. So... It's an awful thing and it's a very intrusive thing and it kind of it gets into your DNA and you're so conscious of it. But also, what can you really do about it?
That's exactly it. You feel completely neutered, don't you? You feel completely powerless and you don't want to rise to it. But because it's so persistent, and I'm with you, Bobby, I mean, I could never, ever for one second say that what I went through was stalking, if you like. As I say, it was just a sort of invasion of my privacy, if you like. But it becomes, like I say, you become very wary of the phone. It becomes deeply unsettling. It's something that's always at the back of your mind.
Yeah, that's it. It really affects you.
When I did make that phone call, I left a message in no uncertain terms that I would escalate it. And fortunately, that did nip it in the bud.
That's good.
And thank goodness it did. We know that there are systemic problems in this country, and hopefully the situation is getting better with regarding to stalking and the police's reaction to that. But, I mean, Baggett, you put yourself out there, mate, as well, don't you? I mean, you're there for the world to see, and that's not without its jeopardy, not without its minefields, is it?
I wouldn't say I've been stalked, but I've had a lot of people just send random messages, and if you don't reply, it's just hundreds of messages.
They then message more.
I'm just a bloke in a dress. I'm a drag queen, you know what I mean? But I do get a lot of men message me like, oh, sexy mama and all this. And they think I do it for like sexual kicks. And I'm like, no, I'm a performer. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But they're a character.
Yeah, they're like, oh, can I see you in your bra and knickers and all this? And I'm like, if I take this off, I've got a pair of socks down with, you know what I mean?
That's it.
So it's not very sexy. You get like the odd RuPaul Drag Race fan that'll be like, they're just like young girls. They'll be like, oh, do you remember on episode 2 where you did it? I saw your mum down the street the other day. And I'm like, oh my God. The baby reindeer is that's just like the most extreme scenario in it.
It's a deeply unsettling watch. And also there's sort of, obviously by nature of the fact that he's comedic, there's darkly comedic elements as well within it, which makes the full horror of what's actually evolving for him even more compelling as a viewer, as well as the fact, of course, it's a real story, Resi.
But I think that's the problem we have now, obviously, with social media, is that, like you said, Bobby, it makes people so much more accessible. And years ago, actually, this has just come to my head. I remember I had a situation with someone that was messaging me a lot on Twitter, and her messages were accusing me of having done something really awful to her in the past. She hadn't specified what it was, but she was like, you need to apologise for what you've done to me. And loads of messages started coming through. I was on air one time and I was thinking, what are all these messages about? And then she messaged me saying, you know, you've done something really awful. I need you to apologise, otherwise I'm going to expose you to what you've done. Oh, and I've always been really well behaved. So then you start thinking, oh my gosh, what have I done? Have I done something on Twitter years ago when I was young that I shouldn't have said? And it really bothered me, but she wouldn't let it go. And so I kind of just blocked her on everything, took it out of my mind. But she then approached my agent and sent him an email and said, you know, I need to speak to you about one of your clients. She's done this really horrible thing to me a long time ago. And if she doesn't apologise to me, I've tried to warn her. She's blocked me on everything, but I'm going to expose her for what she's done. So he messaged me and was like, do you need help with this? And I was like, I don't know what I've done. But now I'm questioning myself, like, have I done something? And so it took months, but months later, she went to all of my workplaces and contacted all of them. I'd warned them all already. And she'd basically sent a screenshot of a tweet that I'd sent a really long time ago that wasn't awful at all. It was me just doing a radio show. I was advertising for shout outs for people at work. I'd done a tweet saying something like, you know, it's shout outs for lunchtime. If you're working with a work colleague that's doing a really good job, let me know. I'll give them a shout out. And someone had messaged me and said, what if your colleague is useless? And I messaged back and they say, no, sorry, positive vibes only. That was what I said. And that's what she was taking in her mind, that I'd done something really wrong, but she wouldn't let it go. So she literally took it to the radio station I worked at. She took it to all the TV channels I worked at. And they were all obviously aware of it. They were dealing with it. They were just like, you know, blocker and everything. And that was years and years ago. But I remember about maybe like 2 years ago, I suddenly noticed that she had been tweeting loads everywhere I work. She was tweeting them saying, why have you got a bully working for you? And I was terrifying. Like, this is mad. I know. And I changed agents a couple of years ago. And I think after about 5 months, she messaged my new agent and just said, you know, I've got this situation with one of your clients that you need to know about. I'm giving her one more month. Otherwise, I'm taking it to the next level. But you think, what does that even mean? I mean, that was a really long time ago. And obviously nothing has come from it. And I hadn't done anything. But it really does get in your mind. It really makes you question, what have I done?
I think whether it's stalking or a lot of these kind of come under harassment. When someone's harassing you, and it's multiple times a day, and people are not giving up, and there's no sign of it ending, it's a control thing. And especially with social media, I mean, some people would know by face who this person is, But the scary thing is sometimes you could be walking around a supermarket, getting on and off the tube. These are faceless people. You've got no idea if they stood next to you or sat next to you in a cinema. It could be anyone. And I think that makes it more terrifying. And the bigger the internet becomes, the smaller our worlds are. But I think the amazing thing of this show, apart from this, it's an incredible show, amazing actors and all that jazz, is to start conversations, because you don't have to be in the public eye to have a stalker or to be being harassed. You don't have to be a woman being harassed by it. It can go, gender doesn't come into it. And it's so important to speak about it.
It totally is. And it's anyone with a digital footprint these days.
Which we've all got. Even there's dogs on Instagram now. Do you know what I mean? There's a duck. Even the duck's on the gram. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
So he, I think he is very brave for telling his story.
I do, absolutely.
He admits to a lot, doesn't he? It's like, I wouldn't be brave enough to expose myself like that, because there's some things, and I'm like, because you feel, one minute you hate her, don't you? You're like, leave him alone. And then the other, you're like, I feel sorry for her a little bit. She's like he said, she's a bit of a victim herself.
Yeah, I don't think she's
mentally ill.
Yeah.
Now, I've only watched episode one, because unlike you guys have binge watched it all, haven't you? I like to save it and watch it slowly. But I know that one of the things he was saying is a lot of the things that did happen with him and his stalker is that he hadn't told a lot of people about those things. And so then when he made the series, obviously he had to relive all of that. So he said it was really difficult for himself to go through all that again, because obviously a lot of people around him didn't know about it in the first place.
It's probably been therapeutic for him to just let it all out. People say when they write a book, it helps them get over things.
Well, it's been a massive hit across the pond and here, of course, as well. It's obviously going to go for some gongs. I reckon it's definitely award-winning stuff.
Absolutely.
It's hugely confronting. And as you say, Resi, and back to address your demons like that and have it played out on a show like that is an extraordinary journey to go on. Jessica Gunning and Richard Gadd in the compelling Baby Reindeer. So there I was doing my aforementioned DIY, polishing the old silver. I'm only talking about a couple of candles, girls and boys, so don't get too excited. It's not exactly Downton Abbey. But the good thing about doing all those chores this weekend, being at home, was I could have Taylor's album, not just the one, but the two, obviously, because she double dropped on Friday. I had Taylor Smith's album streaming through the manse, because there's a lot of tracks to get through, well over 30. There's a lot of heartbreak, a few disses, quite a few disses to the exes and stuff.
Quite a few.
And even Kim Kardashian. So I know you were busy gigging Bag of My Love, but you'd have to be hiding under a very big rock not to know that Taylor had dropped that double whammy on Friday. Were you here for it?
I'm going to sound really awful now, but I'm not going to lie. I could probably tell you about two songs. I'm an old girl. I like, you know what I mean? I listen to 80s, 70s, even the 60s and stuff. She's a very talented girl. She's a megastar, isn't she? But when I see Taylor Swift, I just think of, like, do you know when you have a piece of chicken? There's no salt and pepper on it. It's just bland for me personally. Yeah. But I'm more of a
spice up your life.
Yeah, I like really. She's more of a, oh, my fella left me. And
you know what? I used to think that way until she did a documentary that I watched a while ago, and it was just so interesting. And I felt like she really opened up, and you actually really felt like you could relate to her a lot more. Really won me over with Taylor Swift.
She's very talented. I'm not disputing that. Brilliant songwriter and everything. But yeah, I like my Beyoncé's. Yeah, I like a bit of spice to me music.
I think her album's doing better than Beyoncé's.
We're being spoiled, aren't we? Because we were chatting about Cowboy Carter on this very show just a few weeks ago. Cowboy Carter has been surpassed now, and it's official, and comes probably as no surprise that Swiftie's got the biggest album of the year, and it's what we're 3 days into it actually
dropping.
So I think the good thing with Taylor Swift's music is that with all other celebrities, when you see a couple that break up, you have to look online to see what happened. You kind of put two and two together, try and figure out why they broke up. Not with Taylor Swift. You listen to her music. She gives you all the juicy details in her songs.
Oh yeah, she'll tell you.
She'll tell you everything.
You don't need to be looking into it.
All 31 songs.
The girls
I said to my other half when I came, I said, where are we at now? I've got to be across this. And I was very much part of the tour.
I wouldn't want to go out with her.
No, you'd be worried.
Yeah. They'd be like, she's going to write a bloody song about me.
But
you know?
Also, how good would that be, Bagger, if Taylor Swift wrote a song about you? I'd literally be like, yeah, that song's about me, you know.
It's kind of a compliment, isn't it? But, you know, because obviously it's been going on now, alleged, the feud between Kim Kardashian and Taylor, which kind of everyone knows goes back to Kanye. So there's
jumping
a lot of
in
beef
on their speech at the VMAs.
Jumping in. Yeah.
So it's not just the exes, of which we're loosely counting.
You ain't got to be romantically linked to Taylor.
No, because we've got about 14 exes on the go, aren't we, that are forensically sort of chewed over in this.
Oh,
I have to say, I'm a massive Swiftie. So full declaration, full disclosure, I loved every minute of this album. And I love the fact she goes to pains to admit that actually there's, you mentioned that just the chicken breasts, if you like, Bagger, right?
Yeah. I think she's great.
She's just the average girl who happens to be
very rich.
Very rich and the most powerful woman in the media,
she's
arguably,
rich
at the moment.
I think it's Girl Next Door, isn't it?
It's the girl
next door.
People thank you, Bagger, for finally getting the words out of my lips. I was struggling there, my friend. But yeah, so the Kim K, you'll be totally across this. I'm going to throw you the bone when it comes to a Kardashian. Once again, frank confessional and full disclosure. Not really that bothered. But you, sir, are all over it, aren't you, boss?
Love this drama.
When it comes to a Kardashian, I'm up it like a rat up a drainpipe. So it's been alleged. And this is what I love when Taylor drops a tune, album comes out or a track, is that people, they're on it. They want to know the 411. They're looking for hidden messages. It's like the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, that's it.
It is totally like
but the
Da Vinci Code.
Are all over it, though.
I mean, there's Resi.
They're dissecting words.
Dissecting everything. It's forensic. And like Resi, when you were saying about the fact that you love it, I mean, my dad used to come back with an ABBA album from the rigs, you know, when he was working back then. And you're waiting for that Spice Girls tune to turn up. And that would be enough for us. A nice gatefold sleeve. I can learn the lyrics, you know, and stuff like that. Smell the vinyl fresh from the shop. I'd be happy, but now, as you say, Bobby, everybody, they're
chewing
over everything.
Now we want tea in music.
It's
exhausting
almost. It must be a full-time job being a Swiftie.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. But they're there to back her up. And I love the passion they've got for her. But I don't think she's come out and confirmed. I don't know if Taylor ever does, and maybe that's part of the genius. I don't think she ever admits to... She would rather have the rumours, is it about this ex or is this about so-and-so? I guess she don't need to sit there and tell you what time it is. She's got to, as long as she knows and she knows you know, she ain't going to put it on paper or say it out loud. But people have kind of done a little bit of detective work. And there's one tune on the album where three of the letters of the title of the song are all in capitals, and it's K-I-M.
Yes. And in that same song, it refers to your daughter coming home and making up a dance routine to a TikTok song, which you and I will know is about you. And I'm just like, we all know that Kim Kardashian's daughter, North, is always on TikTok. Like, they make TikToks together. That's her thing. So it's so obviously blatant. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes, Taylor.
And, what I find extraordinary about this as well, we haven't even reached peak Taylor Swift. We've been reporting.
Still young and shy.
Yeah, I mean, but in terms of like, she's coming to our shores this very summer in history, and you just think, I mean, if she's causing earthquakes across the pond, what's it going to be like here in the UK?
I think fair play to her, though, because now, because of this whole drama about the Kim Kardashian stuff, it's going to make more people want to go and get the album and listen to it just to hear what she's talking about in the songs.
To
it's really good. She's done a good job with the PR work, I think.
She's a very clever girl. I don't think Kim said anything yet, but I know people love them or hate them. I'm real. I love a Kardashian and I love a Jenner. Do you know what I mean? And whether you like them or not, I think there's no denying that they're very clever businesswomen.
They definitely are.
They're not down the mines. They ain't scientists. They're not curing awful diseases. But there's no denying that them girls can make a pound note. And when you look at what they've achieved, I think, do you know what?
Isn't Kim a lawyer now, though?
She did the bar. Yeah. Her dad was a solicitor or lawyer.
Yeah.
She's got people out of prison.
I was going to say, she's worked hard to sit,
So when people think she just sits there taking selfies all day, I kind of think she's so clever that she's more than happy for you to think that, because who's laughing? She's got a lovely gaff.
Yeah.
She's got some lovely motors on the drive.
Yeah.
And the entire family.
Some stunning handbags.
Well.
Some of them Birkins. Oh. And Kris Jenner, I'm obsessed.
If
you're listening, Chris, and you want a client, I'd love Kris Jenner to be my agent.
She is amazing.
Actually,
did you?
She lied.
Years ago, she was on the red carpet. You know, she was very sweet. Again, like all these people, you know, you've got the optics around them and all the sizzle that goes around them. And then actually she was incredibly polite, which of course you'd expect, camera in the face and all that sort of thing. Best behaviour on the red carpet. And she was magnificent. And Kris Jenner, though, she was a hoot. It was in Cannes. It was during the film festival.
Amazing.
It was at the Magnum party. I was rolling around in dairy with some sprinkles. Yes, it's in the ice cream.
I used to love a Magnum. You know, the white chocolate one
Bobby,
I loved.
I'll turn up to anything.
It's got to be so alive. If Kris Jenner's there, I'll turn up. Kardashian Jenner, I'm there.
Well, I tell you what, from one worldwide diva to another, come on, we can park Taylor. Sorry, Swifties, but we're going to do that now. And of course, we've talked the Spice Girls and even Kim K, you can get back in your box because the one and only, you may have noticed, Bagger Chips is with us today. Bagger, as I say, the last time was down my side return. Here you are in our studio. It's lovely to see you and catch up with you. You got so much going on, girl.
Yeah, Bagger's going on tour again. So I'm doing the Much Better Tour, which is literally 35 dates all around the country in the theatres. And I love being in the theatre. I feel like Judi Dench when I'm in the theatre. I love being in the theatre. But it's just lovely venues, isn't it? Because I'm used to doing old boozers and nightclubs. And so when you're in a theatre, you feel like the shit, don't you? Yeah, I love being in that environment. And
can I ask a quick question? Where did you get the name Bagger Chips from?
Oh, God, well, this is a true story. I'm from a place called the Black Country originally. Mm-hmm. So they talk, Yuroi, Burb, Yamuroi, Jum, 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 all that, like Ozzy Osbourne. But I was on a night out, I must have been about 19 or something, and I was getting off with this guy, you know what I mean? I pulled in the nightclub. So we had a little cheeky snog. And I said, right, I'm going to the toilet and going to get a drink. So I did that. And then I came back and he was snogging someone else.
What?
And I was gutted. And I said to him, why do you want McDonald's hamburger when you can have prime steak? And he was like, prime steak, more like a bag of chips. And I was like, you cheeky. And I always say, I'm salty, I'll batter your sausage, and I love to be covered in daddy's sauce. So, yeah.
That's so cool. I love it.
Therein lies a tale. Where does that phrase much better come from?
So I was on Drag Race, and so I do my scene, and Michelle Visage says, much better. And I was like, oh, thanks. She says, much better. I was like, oh, brilliant. Thank you. Like, I'm doing my scene. Thank you. She was like, much better. I was like, okay, I'll get it. She said, your line's much better. And I was like, oh, my line's much better. So then
she was giving you a prompt.
Yeah, she was like, she just kept on saying much better to me. And because I was playing like a old Victorian maid, and I'm just like, much better. So yes, my catchphrase now. It's like when Brucey had nice to see you nice, and Cilla had surprise, surprise, and all that. So yeah.
Love that.
If I ever did a TV show, I'd go to the audience, much better.
Because what's it like at the end of the day? So when you get home and you like peel off the lashes and take off the wig and take off the makeup, is it quite easy just to kind of put that all away and then just be Leo?
I love my job. I just hate getting ready.
Yeah.
Most drag queens love it. Like my friend, the Vivian, she likes to just sit down. She takes 3 hours doing her makeup and she loves it. She's like, it's the best part of it. I'm like, I wish I could just click my fingers and be on stage. I love being on stage singing and dancing. But get the makeup and stuff and the shaving and Yeah, I love the job. It's just I hate getting ready.
How long does it take you to get ready?
My makeup takes about 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
It takes me an hour, head to toe.
That's pretty good. So, it takes me 3 hours to get ready. Honestly,
well,
3 hours.
Fair, you have got a broken finger, ready. So it might take a bit longer moving forward. When you think about the journey then you've been on, Bagger, which has been extraordinary, was it 2019 you did?
I'm lucky I did season one, Drag Race. Nobody knew what to expect. I just thought I was going to go on Drag Race, get some more bookings, you know what I mean? If you're on a Drag Race, you get more drag shows. But then I was getting calls for Celebrity Master Chef and Celebrity this, and it's just like I've performed at the Royal Albert Hall, I've performed in Hyde Park in front of 50,000 people. It's just like, what's happening? Don't get me wrong, we all have our haters, you know what I mean? I'm sure there's loads of people like, oh, that bag of chips is a load of crap, you know what I mean? She's rubbish. But I've got loads of people who just love it. I think I do a lot of comedy, so I'm not one of these drag queens you see who's going to do a death drop and the splits and look like Kate Moss, you know what I mean?
Well, even after gigging this weekend, Bagger, you showed up for the sidebar. It's a pleasure as always, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Rezzy and Bobby as well for popping in for a natter, and thank you, the listener, for joining us on the sidebar today. Email thesidebar@mailonline.co.uk, comment on Spotify, send me a WhatsApp or voice note on 07796657512. Start your message with the word sidebar, give us a follow and a 5-star review. It makes the world a difference, and don't forget, sidebar or it didn't happen. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, more parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Our hit series, Everything I Know About Me, is back for a brand new season. And this time, our guest needs no introduction.
Of course you find me, Darren!
But here's one anyway.
Hi, I'm Gemma Collins, and this is Everything I Know About Me.
If you think you know all about Gemma Collins, think again, because this is the GC as you've never heard her before.
It's been exhausting.
Unashamed.
And I was really heartbroken because I was pregnant and he was having an affair.
Unfiltered.
I have had an operation as well years ago. I have a designer vagina. Yeah, baby. I don't have camel toe.
Unbelievable.
And then they advised me you need to have a termination. And, yeah, I remember that being really stressful.
Everything I Know About Me with Gemma Collins is out this Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.